on the Girl Next Door. Sharp and Betting in the Morning, 1620 The Zone. Thanks, everybody, that participated today. Good show. Lots of content, lots of laughs. We learned a lot of stuff today.
A little needling.
How you doing over there?
I'm good. Good. How about you?
We're always doing as well as Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity is doing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's living a good life.
Who joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
But you've seem to have mastered this parenting thing, man. That didn't take long, or do you just hide it well?
I guess maybe I hide it well. eternally tired.
Are you really?
All things considered, though, so he turned one a couple of weeks ago, and I still feel like we've got a little bit of a no-hitter going because he's a pretty good baby. So I'm always afraid to mention that.
But did you go all out? Change. Stuff that he won't need in, like, 3 more months, but you got anyway because it was one, or?
No, we did a pretty good job of, I think, reining things in. Just
sold the baby chain station and all those extras that you realize you don't really need.
That actually happened yesterday. the baby consignment. It's like, man, how did we have all this stuff?
Yeah.
That first one, you buy, like you said, you buy all this stuff. Like, oh, we're definitely going to need that.
Yeah.
And, it never even took it out of the package.
There's a diaper genie sitting in my hallway somewhere that I'm like, this probably needs to be someplace else.
You can throw that on a website.
Yeah.
Need to do something.
Game used genie diaper?
Yes. She'll be almost 4, bro.
All right, there's a lot of stuff going on, and you're a good person to hit with this because you understand the dynamics of building schedules, networks, who you're trying to reach as a fan base. So we're the big discussion of the Big Ten is about divisions. And I think everybody's got an opinion on how the divisions should work. If there's not going to be divisions, then what does the schedule look like if you don't have divisions? Let's first start there. Is there a way, in your opinion, and because I think there are some athletic directors that feel this way, that divisions are good. Is there a way to revamp the divisions in the Big Ten so that the East doesn't have such a dominating presence where they've won all 8 Big Ten titles since we've gone east-west?
I don't know if there's an easy way to do it. I mean, to be personally, I like the east-west setup. I don't know a lot of people. That's not true. There are some leaders and legends fans out there, and that was them trying to establish a little bit of competitive balance. But I prefer just keep it simple. And, Ohio State is so far out ahead of everyone I know Michigan and Penn State have won conference titles out of that division too relatively recently. So given the choice, I think you just hope for things to level out a little bit, and maybe that's unrealistic, but I'm kind of loath to get rid of the geographic piece of it. If you're going to do divisions, I think that it makes the most sense. It keeps things simple. Everyone knows who's in what division.
Is this one of these deals where you're like, hey, listen, I've done this on my spreadsheet. I've got a logarithm that can figure this out. Or do you think this is going to be one of those deals where people will inevitably complain, even without divisions, about the schedule? Who's playing who?
Oh, people are going to complain no matter what. It's that's kind of part and parcel of college football in particular, I think. You're always going to end up with teams are just going to get the short end of the stick or the long end of the stick. Like, even if you try to, base this on years and years of data, which is sort of what, Leaders and Legends was in terms of, okay, like, look, we've got 4 programs that have been among the best in college football for 60, 70, 80 years. We'll divvy those up. Like, even that, it just fluctuates so much on a year-to-year basis. I shouldn't say it fluctuates so much. It fluctuates enough for those schedules to have varying degrees of difficulty. And I just think, I don't know if there's a great way around that. Other than, I talked about a couple weeks ago, like if you truly just went random with it, at least then there's less to complain about. It's just kind of luck of the draw. And we see that in some other sports. And I'd at least be willing to entertain that idea.
How do you think the Big Ten balances? I mean, they have never had more than one team in the playoff, in the years of the playoff. We know the SEC gets two teams in. We know how they schedule. What do you think is the best course of action for the Big Ten when they're trying to achieve, yes, we want to make sure we get into the playoff, and boy, we'd love to have two of the four as long as it stays at four. But we've also got to take care of those other schools that really don't have a realistic chance to make the playoff. How do you think they balance both of those things?
The only real wiggle room I think they have with the current setup, so 14 playoff, 14 teams, two divisions, is kind of that ninth game. And I think that best helps all of these schools that are probably not realistically in the playoff race. It certainly gives the conference a full week of additional inventory of its own games. So there's a pretty strong financial incentive there. Honestly, and going through this a lot, getting the yearbook ready and writing those team previews, like, I don't feel like, and maybe it's just me, I don't feel like the Big Ten non-conference scheduling frequently impresses me. So that might be a piece of it there. For those teams that are, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, when it's up and running, that can realistically consider themselves in the playoffs, I think that might end up having to be a piece of it. And who knows what's going to happen with this ridiculous alliance that was a one-day thing and seems to have not come up again. But I don't know that that's the answer to this either.
Hey, Brandon, are you willing, or have you kind of reconciled, or maybe it's talk to me next year. Do you look at recruiting differently this year in terms of the portal versus high school, given the fact that Nebraska's staff probably has a different sort of sense of urgency heading into this year?
Yeah, a little bit. It feels, it kind of reminds me of 2018, like the shift to, there's so many players available in the portal, this kind of first real run at it. It feels a little bit like 2018, that year when you had your first early signing period. And, now that we're really almost beyond that, or the players that were in that class, there's only a handful of them around still. That was a class that you almost had to give a pretty strong caveat. I was going to say you almost had to write off, but I don't mean it that way. It just, it changed a lot of things. And I think 4 years on, 5 years on, teams kind of got their bearings about, okay, this is what it means to have an early signing period. And now that's all in upheaval as well, because there's a transfer portal out here, and it's kind of if you need immediate help, it's probably a better bet. So, Nebraska, and you can also add in the numbers discussion with the Huskers at the moment, these high school classes in particular were going to be small last year and probably this year as well. But then you add in the transfer piece of it. So Nebraska has to be really selective, and it's going to have to be right with this past recruiting class and I think this upcoming one, just based on the numbers.
Brandon Vogel from Hail Varsity joining us. We got into a discussion earlier that elicited, I think, a general group of players. I asked the question, which player will be the one to silence the critics this year? If you had to pick one or two that are candidates to do that have been lightning rods, have not maybe lived up to what we think they can be, but this year will be the year, where would you start with candidates?
I think the candidate with the loudest kind of roar to silence might be Omar Manning. And I mean, personally, given what, his trajectory to this point, like, I would love to see that. Nebraska could really, really use it too. I like this wide receiver core that they've kind of put together, but there's not a lot of knowns there. And Manning has, since he arrived, fairly or unfairly, has kind of been the guy everybody's been waiting on. If he were to emerge and have a big season, I think he has the best potential to do that and might have the biggest impact on what the Huskers are able to do in 2022 from an offense perspective if that were to happen.
All right, so let's do – if it's a need, if they need to silence the critics – or not critics, maybe meet expectations, right? Who would you take between Ben Hart and Ty Robinson?
Ben Hart, probably. I feel like, you know, Robinson, I feel a little bit more encouraged about kind of his trajectory. Ben Hart, that's a really good one. That actually might be as big a pick for me as maybe Omar Manning. Nebraska needs him to be good. And this O-line, it's got a ton of snaps coming back. Like, we know what it was last year. Not that encouraging, but you look at Big Ten, in terms of snaps returning, it's one of the most experienced in the league, and it needs to look that way. And I'm not sure it can without Bryce Benhart kind of rising to, I think, what his ability is.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff, Brandon. We always appreciate it. I know how of the percentage of the yearbook that is finished, where are we at?
I would say we're about 40%, and we've got about 3 weeks to go. So I've gotten the Big Ten West and non-conference previews done. So I've just got the East left on that part. But from a features perspective, things are coming together. Cover shoot tomorrow. So excited about that. Mm. So it's going to come together pretty quickly.
Does that mean your cover shoot, that person has to be in Lincoln?
It might. I did promise Damon another teaser. He wanted to know. We established defense last week. I will tell you, on the roster, we're looking at between numbers 0 and 49,
okay.
Not 50 plus.
Okay.
So that's your latest clue.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with 28 and 42.
Yeah, I'm thinking more 44.
Oh, okay. All right.
It'd be interesting. We should bagel. I want salmon. Salmon cream cheese. You take your pick.
God. That either one of them,
28,
that
42,
combo.
42, 44. Yeah, there's some candidates, right?
Yeah, but all three need to be,
I know,
better than they've ever been.
0 to 49. That's interesting. All right, that's enough.
Halfway through the week, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6:00.